I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Will the government be funded beyond this Friday? We'll have two guests this hour. We'll be getting background on the negotiations that have been going on to avert a shutdown. We'll talk about how the border wall remained the chief sticking point. But the latest news is that President Trump in the last day has softened his demand that a deal to keep the federal government open would include money to begin construction on that wall. He told conservative journalists yesterday that he was open to delaying funding for construction on the wall until September. We'll have two guests with us who've been following this very closely. Our first guest is Russell Berman of The Atlantic, senior associate editor at The Atlantic, who covers political news, previously congressional reporter for The Hill and a Washington correspondent for The New York Sun. He wrote a piece appearing today, "Does Trump Want a Government Shutdown? The president is making a late push to win funding for his border wall in a must-pass spending bill, but it's not clear how badly he or Republicans want to fight." We'll be welcoming phone calls for both our guests this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk at WPR.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Russell, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you.
And for writing a very timely article, I might add, that was very helpful to us this morning. Well, let's start with the border wall. The president evidently has softened his stance that this has to be included in the budget negotiations to keep the federal government open past Friday. Is this true? Has he softened his stance?
Well, it appears that yes, the president has blinked. As you mentioned, he told conservative journalists in a meeting that I think was originally supposed to be off the record, and then the White House placed it on the record yesterday, that, well, he'd like the border wall funding this time around. He might be okay if they waited until September, when Congress will take up the next round of budgeting, essentially for fiscal year 2018. So that appears, and Democrats immediately took it as such, that he's relenting on the demand for this week, which should be able to clear the way and avert a government shutdown. They still have a few other issues to work out, but that was the major sticking point.
Mm-hmm. What are the other issues?
Well, so Democrats want some provision in there that would require the administration to continue making these subsidy payments for the Affordable Care Act to insurers, what are known as cost-sharing reductions. That would help keep the individual markets stabilized. Those are the subject of a lawsuit that House Republicans filed against the Obama administration. And recently, President Trump has threatened to use them as sort of leverage to get Democrats to either give him this wall money or to cooperate with a repeal and replacement of Obamacare, which they're not going to do. So the thing with those is that Democrats want them, but many Republicans on Capitol Hill also want them, because they don't want the health insurance market to go into a total tailspin, which would hurt their constituents and might cause them some political pain in the months to come.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the sticking points. We don't know how that's going to be resolved. Another one is the president has also asked for more spending for the Pentagon defense money. We don't know how much they're going to agree to give him. He asked for $30 billion. It would be surprising if Democrats and Republicans agreed to that much, but they probably will give him some of that money. And then the last thing is the compromise around the border wall is likely to come in the form of money for border security more generally, as long as it's clear in the legislation that it's not going to for the development or the construction of this wall. That could be more technology like drones, potentially even funding more border agents. That could be an area where the Democrats will say, okay, we'll give you money for more border security. We've supported this in the past, but it can't go to the wall. And so those are some of the last points that they're discussing.
And how much would he be asking for in terms of drones, border security technology?
Well, I think he asked for about $3 billion total for border security. $1.4 billion was going to go to the wall. So it would make sense if they agreed to, you know, anywhere from $1 to maybe $2 or $3 billion for border security. That's a lot less than he's asking for the Defense Department. So in the context of the total federal budget, it's not that much.
Mm-hmm. You wrote in your piece today that Republicans and Democrats have been negotiating, Russell, for weeks on legislation to avert a shutdown. Can you talk about, and you describe the talks as being positive? People in both parties are saying that the talks were positive. Neither side wanted a shutdown. What kinds of negotiations have been going on?
Right. Well, you never know what's really going on behind these closed doors. A lot of it is spin. But what they've been saying, both parties, is that they've been working pretty well. There was a budget agreement a couple of years ago that was a 2-year budget agreement that set the top line spending levels for the government at around $1 trillion. And so the fact that agreement was in place, that really set the parameters for their negotiations. And so the way that Chuck Schumer of New York, the Senate minority leader, has been describing it is the various parties, the Republicans, the Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill, have been working through these negotiations. Nobody wanted a government shutdown. And the way they describe it is that the White House and the president and his aides came in at the last minute and insisted on this wall funding, and that was really throwing what Schumer called a monkey wrench into this process. That may have been a little bit of an exaggeration. The president has been calling for this border wall money for a couple of months now, but that's the way they've been describing it. And so now that it appears, at least, that he's backing off that demand, the way that they're saying it is that they can go back to these negotiations, and they're likely to come to an agreement. It may be that they'll have to pass a short term, maybe a few days or a week, what's known as a continuing resolution, to buy themselves a little bit more time to get this larger agreement in place. But it really does seem to diffuse the talk about a government shutdown.
Mm. He has been talking about the wall for months, but it would appear that in the last few days, until yesterday with that meeting with conservative journalists, that he was tweeting about this and talking about it with more urgency and almost every single day. Was he just trying, as he is about to reach the first 100 days, obviously he made this a centerpiece of his whole campaign. There must be people who voted for him who will be very disappointed that money for the wall is not included in this plan.
That's true. There probably will be disappointment. We're already seeing Rush Limbaugh, the conservative radio host, was criticizing the president for caving today. So it's going to cause some blowback. And of course, the broader storyline over the last couple of weeks is the administration, as much as the president likes to criticize the focus on the 100-day mark, they have really internalized it, and they really want to show some sort of accomplishment other than getting Justice Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, which is his major accomplishment of his first 100 days. And so we saw them make a late push in the last few days for a health care vote, which is not materializing anytime soon. And that's also when you saw him really push for this border wall money. But they had known all along that Republicans and Democrats were unlikely to include the border wall money this time around, because Republicans, they were basically saying, look, we'll battle that out in the months ahead. We don't want to shut down right now. We want to demonstrate to voters that we can govern and keep the government open. So let's just put off that fight. And Trump came in and said, well, I need to show something for my first 100 days, or at least that was the perception coming out of the White House. And so that was the sort of the backstory to this drama over the last several days.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also probably in the memory, it was only 2013 that we had a government shutdown, and Republicans were blamed for that shutdown. They certainly don't want that on their backs right now, do they?
Right, exactly. I mean, they were blamed for that when they didn't even control, the government at that point. Mm-hmm. That was under Barack Obama. They only controlled one House of Congress. Now they control the whole thing. So the first point is that the party in power is likely to get the blame from voters who are not paying close attention. And the second thing is, we've seen this over the last several years, the voters are more likely to fault the party that is long been antagonistic toward the idea of government in general, and that's, of course, been Republicans. They're the small government party. They're the ones who have criticized, you know, too much spending. And so when you hear the words, you know, shutting down the government, you know, again, a voter who doesn't pay maybe close attention is probably going to associate that with Republicans, even though in this case it technically would be the Democrats who would be filibustering in the Senate and really causing the shutdown. But both parties really are agreeing on the political dynamic of a government shutdown.
Mm-hmm. This wall, I have read, would cost, tell me if you think this is right, $21.6 billion and would take 3.5 years to build. That's a long period of time. There is opposition among the American people to this wall. 60%, I think, are not in favor of a wall, considering how expensive it is and how many entanglements there might be. I was watching a news report last night that looked at a Native American tribe that owns a good portion of this land. Half is in Mexico, half is in the U.S. And if you had a wall that covered that particular area where people live in this tribe, you couldn't get water from the Mexico side to the American side. And, you know, this is native land, so they have to deal with that. I would think there are a lot of problems and potential lawsuits in even getting this built, and considering the fact also that most Americans are not in favor of this.
Exactly. You know, for as much as President Trump as a candidate sort of painted this picture of this humongous structure going 2,000 miles across the southern border in the desert, sort of evoking images of the Great Wall of China. That was never going to happen, and it is never going to happen. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, made that comment, I think, today or yesterday. We are never going to see a 2,000-mile border wall. It's just not. It's not feasible for the both geographic and, as you mentioned, there's a lot of private property in addition to Native American lands, you know, that the government would have to seize through eminent domain. Then there's geographical issues where the river that's running through it there, and even Republicans who represent the border areas in Texas and in Arizona and New Mexico, they don't support the idea of a wall through their communities. They support border security, but that may be through, again, additional technology, some fencing, as there is in many locations already. This border wall, for many reasons, is not going to be built along the image that the president sort of evoked during the campaign. Mm.
But as you remind us in your piece today, in his Associated Press interview, the recent interview, he said, "My base understands the wall is going to get built, whether I have it funded here or if I get it funded shortly thereafter. That wall's getting built, okay? 100%.
Well, what does 100% mean? I think, you know, the president has been very adept at declaring victory where others might see a mixed result or even a defeat. And so I think there is a middle ground between a 2,000-mile border wall and nothing at all. And so, yes, it is possible that he'll get some sort of a wall built on some parts of the border in the next few years. And, you know, perhaps he would declare victory, or he would cite the fact, as he's already been doing, that border crossings are down. And there's going to be a lot of ways, you know, that he might try to spin this, but he's not going to get a 2,000-mile border wall.
Mm-hmm. Russell, is there any controversy over the increased military funding?
There is. There's less controversy than there is over the border wall. Democrats, you know, generally will support some increase in military spending. But, you know, for example, the president asked for $30 billion, which is a lot considering it's only the final 5 months of the fiscal year, and Congress, even Republicans, want to have a lot of say into where that money is spent. They don't want to just give a blank check to the Pentagon to buy all kinds of equipment that, you know, who knows whether they really need or can spend in the next few months. And then the other, it also is related to the broader question of what is the president's strategy for going after ISIS, which was another big part of his campaign. He promised that he would demand a plan from the Pentagon, I think, within 60 or 90 days, but he doesn't really want to talk about that publicly because he doesn't want to sort of telegraph to the enemy what he might do. But that leaves a large cloud over his military strategy, and if he's asking for this money for Congress, there's going to be a lot of pressure for him to be more forthcoming in what his strategy is for victory.
We welcome phone calls for Russell. We're talking about the potential government shutdown, which today doesn't seem as likely as it did yesterday because the president is backing off from his desire to have money for the wall, or at least $1.5 billion to start construction of the wall, and then an additional $2.6 billion for the fiscal year beginning in October, and then much more money as the time goes on here. So a couple questions. Do the Republicans really need to avert a government shutdown? We went through, and you probably have memories of the one that we went through in 2013. Was the president right to talk about the wall? It was the centerpiece of his campaign. If you voted for him and you felt this issue was important, are you disappointed that he seems to be pushing this aside, at least for now, to avert a government shutdown? Or is that the right thing to do at this point in time? We welcome your phone calls. And our guest is Russell Berman, the first part of the hour. He is senior associate editor at The Atlantic, covers political news, wrote a piece appearing today. Does Trump want a government shutdown? The president is making a late push to win funding for his border wall in a must-passed spending bill, but it's not clear how badly he or Republicans want to fight. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We have lines open for you right now, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page, where we love to read your messages always so we can continue the show after the show isn't on the air, is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter @KDunnShow. Are we going to avert a government shutdown? Is that a good thing? What about putting the wall construction of it off for some time to avert a shutdown? What do you think? We'll be with you in a moment on the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to phone calls for Russell Berman of The Atlantic. We start with Brian in Hollandale. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Hi.
My question on the wall is the initial costs versus how much they would make off the workers that would actually be working it for their income taxes. And I do kind of agree with pushing the wall off to stop a government shutdown.
So you'd like to see a wall built, but wait a little while? Is that your position, Brian?
Yeah.
And you're not disappointed that the wall will not be included in this go-around?
No, not really, because like everybody has been saying, the border crossings have been going down and all.
Right. Russell, what do you say?
Well, that's right, and I think I think the administration will try to sort of talk up the economic benefits of, hiring people to build the wall. In essence, it is a big infrastructure project, and the president has been talking a lot about spending more money on infrastructure. We're still awaiting his infrastructure plan, so that will be a big part of it. I don't know the breakdown of how much economic activity or jobs they anticipate it would generate. But whether it's now or later, that will be a part of the debate.
Thanks, Brian, very much for your call. Ann in Ripon is next. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Russell. My question is, this budget that's been voted on, does that include the severe cuts to public broadcasting and National Endowment for the Arts and National Endowment for Humanities? Are those all going to just be swept up in this big vote?
That's a great question, and the answer is no. This budget is only for the next 5 months of the current fiscal year. The budget where the president proposed all of these steep cuts, or most of these steep cuts to domestic programs like public broadcasting, that would be for 2018. And most of those are unlikely to be adopted both by Republicans and Democrats in Congress. He did ask for some cuts to offset some of the increased defense spending immediately, but Congress is really not expected to be cutting a whole lot of money right now, and certainly not for those popular programs where the cuts would generate a lot of controversy.
Mm-hmm. So how do we find ourselves with a possible shutdown on April 28th? How did that come into being? A budget was signed for how long a period of time? When was it signed? Why is it happening now?
Right. Another good question. That so the fiscal year goes from October 1st, to September 30th. It's not the same as the calendar year. And so last fall, when they should have passed the budget for the appropriations bills for the entire fiscal year, they, as they have done repeatedly, had to kick the can down the road. That was right in the middle of the presidential election. Neither party was in a position to agree to a big spending bill right before the election. So they passed a series of what are known as continuing resolutions, which we are operating on right now. That means that the government is essentially being funded on autopilot based on the previous year's spending plan. And so right after the election, they had a choice. Well, they could try to fund the government for the entire year, or they could just fund it for the next several months. And they chose the easier path of just a continuing resolution through April 28th. And that's the deadline that's coming up right now.
So the really big battle, because I can't imagine it will be anything but that, will be coming up in September and in October. When do they pass next year's budget?
Right. So over the summer, they will be working on the appropriations bills. The way that they're, you know, supposed to do it and they like to do it is to fund each department and agency individually. There's a dozen different appropriations bills, but Congress doesn't usually pass them all, so they have to bundle them together in, again, what's known as an omnibus appropriations bill. And so that's the most likely scenario, and that would be done in September. The deadline would be September 30th to fund the government for fiscal year 2018, which begins on October 1st. So when Trump talks about, well, if we can't get the border wall funding now, we'll get it in September, he is referring to that fight that will focus on 2018.
Ian, thanks very much for your call. Kevin in Crandon is next. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, yeah. Yes, sir. The partial government shutdown possibility, whatever it all means, I don't remember all the details from 2013, but now would that affect Social Security and disability checks going out?
So that's a little bit unclear. Usually the administration has some wiggle room on that. Back in 2013, the Obama administration, you know, as sort of a point of leverage, I think said that there could be delays in those going out if the government was shut down. I could be wrong about that. The most immediate consequence that people would see is the national parks would be closed. The Smithsonian Museum in Washington would be closed on Saturday. Of course, the fact that this government shutdown, if it were to occur, would start on a weekend, would give them a couple of days before the offices where they would process Social Security checks would open again on Monday. So the impact is more limited than what they like to talk about when they're sort of raising the specter of a government shutdown. But there would be some impact.
Do you remember how long the last shutdown was? I don't remember.
I believe it was 21 or 22 days.
Really? Was that long?
October. Ooh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
A long time.
It was definitely a couple of weeks. It was between two and 3 weeks, if I remember correctly. But it was a fairly lengthy shutdown.
Mm. And what are the political considerations here? You write that if the government shuts down, voters could blame the GOP for failing to govern, and the party could suffer the consequences in the 2018 midterm elections. Would a shutdown be a significant factor in those elections?
Cumulatively, yes. It's unclear that the elections being a year and a half away, whether a shutdown, assuming it doesn't last more than a week or two, would affect the elections at that point. But it would affect the political environment. And right now, the Republicans are suffering from the perception that they just are not capable of effectively running the government, you know, which voters in the elections last fall gave them the power to do. Their first priority was health care. They couldn't pass the health care bill. If they can't even keep the government open, the Democrats certainly will remind voters who may have forgotten next year, and it will just contribute to this sort of to this narrative, to this theme of the Republicans and whether they can competently run the government. So individually, will it have an impact? Perhaps not, but cumulatively it might.
Yeah. Let's take a couple more quick phone calls then. Same topic, new guest, Mike in Burlington. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Kathleen. I just wanted to make a couple of comments for those people who are calling in still in favor of the wall. If you think it's going to stop people from coming here, this several billion-dollar wall can be easily defeated by a $50 ladder and a $5 piece of rope. And the other comment that I wanted to make was, for those who are calling in saying, well, it's going to create a lot of jobs and with the infrastructure jobs, we'll get money back on taxes. Well, if we're going to spend money on infrastructure, let's spend it on the roads and bridges that are in severe need of maintenance rather than pissing it away on a wall that we really don't need.
Thanks for your call, Mike. Will an infrastructure spending be a part of the budget deliberations going forward, Russell?
Not this time around. We're still waiting for the Trump administration to come up with an infrastructure plan. It's possible that tomorrow, when they release sort of the outline of their tax reform plan, that they could include some infrastructure spending as part of that. The dynamic in Congress is that some Democrats would actually like to work with the Trump administration on more money for infrastructure,
right.
But conservative Republicans are much more reluctant to do so. They opposed the stimulus package several years ago along the lines of it being wasteful government spending.
Hmm. Well, he really is in kind of a pickle, isn't he, the president, because he doesn't have full support of all Republicans. They're divided on some of his major issues, and Democrats are not supportive of many of these issues. And when you look at the American public, he's having a hard time getting majority support for a lot of his plans. So that makes it hard for him, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Because when he ran in some ways as apart from the Republican Party, even
yes.
though he was their standard bearer. There were, you know, a number of issues where he is not in total agreement with conservatives over. And as we've seen in the health care debate, there's a big split among the Republicans in Congress, and there's not much that President Trump can do with that. He also has yet to sort of definitively break with the conservatives and say, fine, if you guys are going to oppose everything, I'm going to work with Democrats. He's still, it's very early still in his presidency, and he's still trying to work with the party that got him into office. But at a certain point, you might think that this president who hails himself as a deal maker is going to really start looking to Democrats and seeing what can I do with them.
Mm-hmm. Russell, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks for writing such a timely article. It fit right into our show topic today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Russell Berman of The Atlantic, senior associate editor, and he covers political news. He's also written as a congressional reporter for The Hill and Washington correspondent for The New York Sun. If you're on hold, just stay right where you are. We'll be with more of your phone calls in a moment. David Friedlander is with us now. David is a freelance political writer. He writes for Politico, The Daily Beast, and other publications, and he has written recently about how to avoid a shutdown. Hello, David. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You wrote in your recent piece that it's hard to imagine Republicans will want to top off a chaotic first 100 days of unified government control with a disruptive federal government shutdown. I would imagine they're doing everything they can to make sure there is not a shutdown. What are they doing to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, I mean, their negotiations seem to sort of be moving along quite well in many ways. If we're just up to congressional Republicans and congressional Democrats, there wouldn't be a shutdown, and the life of the government would be extended for several months at least. I think the problem seems to be that President Trump keeps on sort of interfering in their negotiations and leaving them not really quite sure what direction to take.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that this wall issue became front and center right when these negotiations were getting down to the wire?
Well, it seems as if the president really was looking for something, you know, a major 100-day accomplishment, even though the administration has backed off in many respects, you know, from that being an important marker for them. You know, he has all these campaign promises. This was a big one. It hasn't gone anywhere. This was really the budget negotiations were really a spot to you know, get some sort of metaphorical shovels in the ground on that border wall. But unfortunately for the Trump administration, it really didn't seem as if anybody else was really on board with that. I mean, not just Democrats, who were a hard no, but even many Republicans, Republican leadership, Republicans from border states, too, want to slow down and take a look at this. And then, of course, you know, there are fiscal conservatives who look at this as just a lot of money to spend on something that doesn't really seem to solve a problem other than solving the problem of Trump fulfilling a campaign promise. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's any way of knowing this, but do you think that the president firmly believes that this is a good idea? Was it a campaign promise? What's going on with him in this? Could he give it up and just not be too upset about it?
Well, he seemed to have sort of given it up last night in a meeting with some conservative media outlets and conservative journalists, saying that, you know, we could just push the fight down to September. I don't know what that ends up getting you, really. I mean, this doesn't – the further you get away from Inauguration Day, it doesn't seem as if it's more likely that Trump will be able to pass his agenda. You know, for Trump, it always seems you never quite know what you're going to get. I mean, one minute he talks about a border wall and Mexico paying for it, and another he talks about, well, you know, come what may, the wall doesn't need to be a wall. It can be surveillance. It can be, you know, extra border agents, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So does it look likely, in your opinion, that the government will remain open, that this was kind of the deal breaker for the Democrats and for some Republicans? This will avert his change on this issue, a shutdown?
I think so. I mean, I understand, you know, one can understand the president's desire to not have to have, you know, as many accomplishments as he can in his first 100 days. A government shutdown, though, would be whatever the opposite of an accomplishment is,
yes.
a massive setback, a loss. And at this point, you have to think that they're more interested in avoiding that than on building this kind of wall. And so, I mean, the Democrats want to keep the government running. They believe in government, functioning. Republicans are now in charge. They want to show that they can be proper stewards of government. And so it's really in no one's interest for the lights to go dark over there.
Mm-hmm. And what about health care subsidies? What has he said about health care subsidies? I know he was using that as a possible negotiating tool. Is that off the table now, too? The subsidies will continue?
It does seem as if that's off the table. I mean, we should caution, you know, everyone to know that it is today, Tuesday, and the shutdown, you know, needs to be averted by Friday or Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and so really anything can change. But at one point, President Trump did say that he would sort of threaten to yank the Obamacare subsidies from Obamacare unless Democrats agreed to fund the border wall. Needless to say, that did not go well.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Right. Let's go back to phone calls. Karen in Rice Lake has been waiting for a while. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. Thanks for your show today. It's very informative. One of the things I wonder is the people that voted for Trump, are they cool with suddenly having come up with billions of taxpayer dollars to pay for the wall that was promised to be built by Mexico? I just seem concerned.
Karen, your phone is lousy. I'm sorry, but I think we got the gist of it. Are Trump supporters willing to pay the money for the wall? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if the hardcore Trump supporters, the wall was the most important thing.
Right.
It seemed like. I mean, that was what they were chanting that at the rallies, right, after Lock Her Up or whatever. It was build the wall. And Mexico would pay for it. You know, you tend to think they're going to stick with them probably no matter what, but certainly if a wall gets built, regardless of who pays for it. I mean, I don't think most voters sort of have that sort of global understanding in a way of the, you know, the federal budget process that I think they just assume, well, the money can come from somewhere else and just move it around and pay for it. however you can.
Except we're looking at a whole lot of money.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of money, and it, you know, it's billions of dollars. And it's also, I mean, to be clear, it's also really disruptive, and it's really disruptive to private property, which is a Republican and conservative, you know, talk, not just talking point, but deeply held value. I mean, they're going to have to, they would have to use eminent domain. There would be all sorts of issues in terms of treaties with Mexico over water and
right.
land, and, you know, wildlife and whatever else.
Yeah, Native American tribes who
yep.
own some of that land.
Yeah.
Karen, thanks for the call. Jimmy, Valley Junction, hello.
Afternoon. I just had a couple comments for your guest to talk about. I worked for the federal government for 30 years, and when they had a lapse of appropriation shut down, the employees always got back paid, whether they were working for a week or two or whether they were not. The essential employees had to stay on the job. They got paid. And the employees that were laid off because of the shutdown got paid, too. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to take away all the services, but the employers are going to get paid anyway, so it seems foolish. And my other comment is I think that the Trump voters need to realize that all his promises about the wall and a great health care system he was going to devise and other promises he made, such like he's smarter than the general, then he's going to have a big plan to get rid of ISIS. Those are all empty promises, and his presidency is basically a marketing scheme for his wealthy people and his family, and I'll listen off the air.
Thanks very much, Jimmy. Has he had victories, do you think? David?
Well, you know, he's had some. I mean, the nomination of and confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch, obviously, was the biggest one. And, you know, they've repealed some Obamacare-era regulations, although probably not, don't go quite as deep as they would promise. But it's certainly been slow going, I think, which is not too much of a surprise. I mean, both considering that, he's new in government and they were kind of not, should we say, thinking that they would be, living in the White House come January.
David Friedlander is our guest. This part of the show, we're talking about attempts to avert a possible government shutdown that could take place on Friday. It would appear that the president has nudged on his desire to put money in for initial construction of a border wall with Mexico. He was adamant about that, but in a meeting yesterday with conservative journalists, a private meeting, he had indicated that there was room to wiggle on that one in order to avert a shutdown. So what do you think about that? If you voted for the president, are you concerned, as he approaches 100 days, that there are some accomplishments, as David just mentioned, the nomination, confirmation of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court? But what about the wall? It was a big thing in the campaign. What about health care and a complete overhaul and something better than the Affordable Care Act? Are you disappointed? Would you like to see a wall being built? Well, are you worried about a potential government shutdown? What do you remember about the last one we had in 2013? Does it make sense for Republicans politically to avoid that at any cost? Here is our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show, Twitter is at K Dunn Show. David is a freelance political writer. He writes for Politico, The Daily Beast, and many other publications. This is the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to phone calls for David. Terry in northern Wisconsin is next. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, hi. I thought that the shutdown in 13 or whenever it was cost like $29 billion extra. Do I have that number?
Yeah, right? I don't remember. Was that about right, David?
Yeah, I don't really recall the exact figure either, but it was certainly something, you know.
Mm-hmm. So go on, Terry.
No, that was my point. It seemed like the shutdown cost the government extra revenue, what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
From it. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. And David, it really would not be a good thing politically. It's hard to imagine that the Republicans would not get the blame for this. They probably would, and we're coming close to a midterm election, and it's politically, I would think, you just don't want to have a shutdown happen.
You don't want to have a shutdown happen. And, you know, it's, I think, even beyond politically. I mean, I just think on the global stage, it really makes the United States look like it just isn't functioning somehow.
Right.
When the government just can't agree on really it's the most basic function of governing, which is, you know, funding what it does and deciding where to allocate money and you know, what revenues should be. You know, I think markets react. You know, if you recall during the 2013 shutdown, I mean, the White House tours were canceled and you know, school groups couldn't go on White House tours and memorials get canceled. And it just really seems like you're living in an unfunctioning, non-functioning country somehow when these things happen.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the president does ultimately with this wall situation? When you have a majority of Americans who are not in favor of a wall, does he need to keep on this issue to satisfy his base?
I mean, the crystal balls have been cloudy for years relating to this president. But it just doesn't, for whatever reason, I mean, they have not been able to move their agenda through Congress. And Congress has not been able to move any agenda through for a variety of reasons. And so he needs to have a wall. Clearly that was a core campaign promise. He needs to be tough on immigration. In many ways, he's doing that. But I don't know if I would be so hopeful if you're a Trump supporter that this would come to pass. I mean, they just haven't figured out how to sort of corral the cats of Congress quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Plus all of those other, I would imagine you couldn't even build a wall until you settled some of those other issues of land owned by people, by tribes, and by people who own land along the border. There are all kinds of obstacles, aren't there, to get this thing done?
Oh, surely. And you mean you're already seeing administration officials sort of walk back, you know, with some of this wall rhetoric. I mean, now they're saying, again, Homeland Security Chief saying, and others, oh, we know when we say wall, we mean not necessarily a wall with bricks and wire, but a wall with cameras and border guards and you know, electronic detection and that kind of thing, something which would be sort of less invasive to the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to John in Shawano. Hi, John.
Oh, hi, guys. My other topic is something else, but real quickly about the wall. We don't really need a physical wall. Drone technology is already up there. You know, we can surveil and quick response teams, you know, you just have to fund that. Anyway, but when I called, you guys were speaking about Neil Gorsuch nomination to the Supreme Court as a Trump success, mm-hmm. yet the Republicans had to go to the nuclear option, as they say. And, you know, now for, you know, Supreme Court justice nominees in the future, which we're going to have a couple soon, it's only going to be, 51 senators? Is that that the deal now instead of 60 to confirm a nomination?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to hear your comments on that. But
okay.
Back to the wall. I don't think we need a $2 billion, whatever, $3 billion actual wall. Drones and quick response teams. But I'll hang up and just listen to your comments.
Thanks, John. David.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on the question of the wall, I mean, one, I think, could argue we don't – that – I'm not sure we need much more of anything other than what we have. I mean, net migration from Mexico is negative. There's more Mexican nationals leaving the United States than coming in. You know, as for the Gorsuch thing, you know, yeah, they had to get they had to sort of blow up some of the Senate rules to get him through. I think, you know, I think that was probably inevitable. In a way, just based on the sort of polarization of our politics right now. And, you know, I think that probably come to at least Trump's benefit in the short term should there be another vacancy.
And let's go next to Ron in Menominee. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Hi.
Say, I was just wondering, there's no, you know, history repeats itself, or you're supposed to learn from history. And the last government shutdown was blamed on the Republicans. And 4 years later, they're in charge of the, they've won the president, the Senate, and the House. If I was a Democrat, I'd shut her down. I'd like to hear some comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point. Certainly that last shutdown in 2013 really looked disastrous for Republicans for a while. But I think it's important to remember that, you know, that shutdown was really about Obamacare. And right after that shutdown ended, the Obamacare was sort of officially rolled out with that disastrous website, which sort of erased everyone's memory about the shutdown, and all the conversation was about the website. And, you know, I just don't know if that really is going to be there for either party if you sort of have an act of God quite like that glitchy website. But, you know, Democrats are kind of like the party of government in a way. And so I think for their calculation is, you know, their bias is to keep the government functioning and running. And it's Republicans who typically feel like, you know, we don't really need much of this government anyway. So let's just shut it down for as long as we sort of humanly can.
When will you know? Thanks, Ron, very much for your call. We have time for a couple more calls if you'd like to join us, 800-486-8655. When will you know, without doubt, David, whether or not we've averted a shutdown?
Oh, I mean, the last minute, I think, is fair to say, whenever that is, at Friday night. Unfortunately, we made a habit of these things going to the wire,
right?
Time after time. Although, you know, and some of that is certainly to the dysfunctionality of our politics, and some of that I think is just we've kind of gotten used to this sort of level of gamesmanship in a way. And there's really no reason to sort of ink the deal until you have everything. You know, you get as much as you can out of it. So I'm sure we'll just go down to the wire on it. You know, with this president and with his Twitter account, There's a danger to that because he can sort of throw things out of whack at any moment in 140 characters or less.
Mm-hmm. Matt sent this email. Many Trump voters view the border wall as a way to spotlight jobs lost to immigrant workers. Many don't want a physical wall.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, if you want, you know, nationalistic rhetoric, then you're certainly happy, and maybe you don't need a wall. You know, I don't, whether or not, certainly the sort of media and thought leaders of Trumpism are calling for the wall, the sort of Ann Coulter, Laura Ingraham types. I mean, they want the wall, but how that sort of trickles down to the rank and file voter in a year and a half or 3.5 years, I think we probably don't quite know yet.
And are there other issues that might be problematic? Will the military spending be problematic? Are there other things we haven't talked about that could cause trouble for keeping the government open?
Well, I mean, there's a few other things. They seem relatively minor. One we talked about is the Obamacare subsidies, and that will have to be worked out. They're sort of negotiating around provisions for benefits for miners' families who worked at now defunct coal mines. That's something that has to be worked out. I think there's another issue around around some sort of funding of or bailout of Puerto Rico. But you get the sense that those are not going to be major hang-ups at this point.
Okay. David, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
David Friedlander, he's a freelance political writer. He writes for Politico and the Daily Beast and other publications. And we thank him for talking about how it looks like there will not be a government shutdown. We don't know for sure. It'll go down probably until Friday. But with the president budging on whether or not a wall, initial money for the wall, be included in this 5-month spending bill, he is said, even though he said earlier it was a must do, now it's not. So it looks as though things might be more likely to stay open. Thanks very much to Colleen Leahy for producing this program, and thanks to Gretchen Brown for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. We have news coming up in just a moment from National Public Radio, and then we will talk about and listen to what fun we will have, the Beatles. All of that coming up after the news.